Why are you taking this journey at this time? Is it curiosity? A mining expedition for inner wisdom? Or perhaps real transformation? Sit or lie down and close your eyes. Set your intention now. What would you like to gain? Or lose? Or change? Or discover? Set your intention, or let your wise and caring unconscious set it for you, now. Because you're going to dream, a dream like you've never dreamt before, perhaps a lucid dream, but an important dream, and I'll give you the pieces, but your unconscious mind will assemble your own puzzle. In any case, I assure you, you are here, and it's for the right reason. So get comfortable and make sure you won't be disturbed for a while, because this is a long journey and one you've made in your dreams before. And it's going to give you exactly what you need. And if anything should occur that requires your attention, you'll be up to the task and fully aware. But here we are. And you know why. You've showed up here again. And again matters more than then, when this all began. And it's time to revisit the wild territory of your unconscious mind. And I want you to know you'll be very safe, because your unconscious will protect you. And my voice will go with you. And no matter how far you go this time, and what things you really forget to remember, that's okay too. It's all okay, since it's your set of dreams, and dreams that fade are still dreams. And in that stillness, there can be a sanctity and a real purpose that's effortless. Because trying has never worked for you, so let go of the need to try and to think you're in control. And there's no need to be less than all you are, and each and every part of you can listen with wonder what will happen next to you. So stop trying to figure out the language, because it's all there for you, unconscious anyway. And as you sink down with a real sense of calm excitement, you can realize that there's a real sense of wonder of what's out there, where dreams are woven from subtle stuff. And I'm sure you really know that the part of you that loves to be curious, like a child enjoying a special trip, perhaps on vacation, will benefit from the break with harsh reality and the need to be present, because life is a present, a royal gift. And whether your preference is a deserted late-night amusement park of the mind, or a therapist's couch, or a giant Ferris wheel on the bank of the River Thames, or that signpost up ahead you've just entered, and you can hear, and hearing is. And so go deeper, and let your unconscious run the performance, because it's entirely your show, and the show must go on as we begin to approach our dark carnival. Because you're never alone, even when you're alone. So watch the seventh wave, because your age is perfect to function in another age. So ask yourself inwardly as you sink deeper, yes, into a more profound trance where chemistry becomes alchemy that creates a residue of memory. And whether you'd rather journey over a high waterfall between immense stone statues, or walk the cobbled streets of Whitechapel in another London rain. It's all yours, and it's all now, and it's all then, and it's all right to let go now. Go deep enough to change. And so the ride begins in earnest, and you find yourself on an old but comfortable train in the first class compartment of the Reorient Express, and it's midnight, very late and dark and rainy, but you're very safe and comfortable. So comfortable. And in your hands is a letter. And it's an invitation from someone you know. You know. And as the train journeys through the night and the dark, you wonder, just wonder how you got here, since you left at the right time. But this doesn't look like Kansas anymore. Outside that window, though, it's mountains against the sky and the rain running down the window, and you open the letter and read it once again.
My dear friend, I've so longed to see you again. Perhaps you don't recall the stage when we met, but I always think of you when I see a raven-filled sky and remember our night walk to the pyramids under a clear desert star. But enough of old times, because you are needed, my friend. Your presence is requested at the castle. All is prepared for your arrival. A fire is burning in the hearth. The laundry is blooming, and we are eagerly awaiting you. I've enclosed your train ticket, and my coach will meet you at the other end. So wait for its arrival. Stay close to the station, but do not, under any circumstances, enter the waiting room. Wait outside, under the lamplight, for the coach. It's a remote area, and the coach might be late, and it's not safe to venture out alone in the night, in the dark. But never fear, you have been chosen for a reason, and you will succeed in your quest. I await your safe arrival. Signed, M. P.S. Bring the book by William Ashbless. I should like to read it one last time.
As you look around the compartment, you are vaguely aware of others. Other travelers with their own destinations, their faces obscured by shadow. So you sink deeper into the rich purple upholstery, and you wait and wonder what book you are supposed to bring. And you get sleepy. So sleepy, and it's easy to drift away with the motion of the old luxury train, and you fall into a deep sleep. So comfortable to sleep now, deeper and deeper, and you notice as you drift away, in total safety and comfort, on the night train through the shadowy mountains, sleeping like a child in a very safe bed that rushes through the night and the dark and the rain toward your positive and reasonable and perfectly designed and appropriate resolution of all you need, as you notice it's still raining against the windows of the train and the lighting is dim, and you are safe and warm and content as you sink deeper, wrapped in a warm blanket of comfort and relaxation. And as you sleep, you dream of small villages that the train passes through, but then they become infrequent and the countryside weak and deserted. And as you sleep, you wonder what could be this far out and foreign and this far old and sleepy. And you dream. You have arrived, and you find yourself standing on a railway platform, the letter in your hand, and your baggage by your feet, and the ancient black train is stopped, and there's no turning back, and it's still raining, glistening on the iron of the steam engine, but you're still asleep and feel warm inside your perfect coat and hat, and you look back at the Trans-Siberian Express, and your train pulls away, continuing on its journey. The silhouette of the conductor can be seen staring, both arms raised, and he's only a cardboard cutout. And then the train is gone, and you're dreaming that the small station building with an overhanging roof is just there, and you walk toward it through the shimmering puddles, and the sign says waiting room, and there's someone sitting inside in the night, in the dark, waiting. But you remember the warning and continue out to the road and the rain and the loneliness, and the mystery continues and the dream continues, because it always was a dream. And you're in the middle of nowhere, or now here with your baggage under the glow of a gas lamp, but you're warm and mostly dry, and fearless, and prepared for anything. And it feels like you've gone back in time, to the past, your past, to anything that could hold you back. And this dream has happened before. It's a dream that just happens, and there's nothing but the station behind you, and the darkness, and the road, and those old bleak trees like hands reaching up from the ground. And all the time you have is coming from your own future. And you're alone and sleeping and dreaming, and you wait and sleep standing right there. And you dream, you look back at the waiting room, at the windows, and a white shape. And you clutch the letter tighter and draw strength from it.
You are chosen for a reason, and you will succeed in your quest. I await your safe arrival.
And you wait under the glow of the street light, but don't look back at the station and the waiting room, wondering if on a winter's night a traveler. And now you hear it. The sound of a coach, and there are a pair of lights, one yellow, one white, a guild marker, the sign of the double lantern, one for fog and one for travel by night. And it gets closer, and you become aware of the large spoked wheels for travel over the rough ground of the mind, and the driver seated on top, wrapped in a cloak, and a pair of black horses that stop under the gaslight, and the coach is a deep, luxurious purple with a family crest on the door, twin ravens whose wings embrace the tower of a tall castle. And the driver steps silently down and puts your cases in the baggage compartment over the back wheels. And the door opens, and you step up into the coach, and it's all so familiar, the stuff of 100 stories, and it's dry inside, and there's bread and wine, but you're tired, much too tired to eat or drink, but just want to sleep, and the door closes behind you, and the coach departs, and you settle in to the dry interior and wrap yourself in the warm blanket of relaxation you find there. And you're so tired that you decide to continue the dream and go even deeper, asleep into the labyrinth of myth and meaning and self-discovery and being the traveler, the eternal passenger, forever passing through time and space and mind and the dream continues, because it always was a dream, and it's still raining, and it's washing away cares and concerns. As you sleep and dream and look down and observe yourself in the coach under a cloudy night sky, and you travel onward, mile after mile, thought after thought, being observed by yourself from above. And as you sleep and dream, the images pass through your mind. Swirling images. A fishing village with lobster traps and nets drying in the sun. A massive Gothic cathedral devastated by fire. A man in a wheelchair stricken by polio. A lighthouse battered and pummeled by massive waves. A circus with grinning clowns in the animal cages. And a solitary woman in a white dress on a cliff, waving to a distant ship, and a tin saxophone, and crayons in a box, and a pocket watch, and a bear's head carved from soap, and a monk fleeing from invaders with parchments destined for Ireland, and a cartographer drawing sea monsters at the known limits of a map, and a man in the ocean beside a sinking space capsule as a helicopter lifts him to safety. A house in Japan with walls made of rice paper. A Russian tank radio in an underground garage. And you dream and sleep deeply and see the huge outline of a giant drawn in chalk on an English hillside, hiding from the stress of her regard. And you go even deeper, and the dream continues, because it always was a dream, but never just a dream. And the rain is getting fainter now, and turning to mist. And then, as you look out the window, there's a real fog beginning to swirl. The coach is going downhill into the fog, and you wonder, how can the driver see that the coach has a guild marker, the sign of the double lantern, one for fog and one for burial by night. And you're safe, and it's foggy and it's dark, but you're safe. And the coach ride continues, the road winding like a maze, down, and you doze on and off with the ghostly fingers of the fog, probing the windows. And yet there's a curiosity, a childlike wonder. And as the fog thins out, you dream yet again, and you see a boy asleep on the top of a pole, and he has goat legs and is wrapped in ivy. And you go still deeper asleep, now really enjoying the ride, down, down deeper. And there's a garlic flower and raisin jelly and a girl learning to tie knots, and happy skaters on a frozen pond, and footprints of an enormous hound, and a hypnosis show in a theater. And you see yourself in the audience, watching yourself on stage in a trance until the show ends, and the hypnotist hands you a book and a letter. And still, the coach goes down into the depths of a valley with dark hills and crags, and you sleep on and on. And as the coach descends, you see a hermit on a hill, cloaked in gray, with a staff and a lantern, and a young boy in a school uniform practicing playing guitar. And the coach levels out on smooth ground, and still you sleep and smell salt air like the sea. And then a stranger smell, dried roses in a cedar box. And then the faces come whirling in, faces from the past, your past, some young and some old, some from very long ago, all friendly faces with good intention And one of the faces is someone who cares about you. Someone long gone. And the expression is one of kindness and loving protection. And the faces fade. And the fog fades. And you adjust the blanket and fall asleep again in the coziness of the coach. And you know the driver will take you to the castle where it all began so many years and centuries ago in tribal dreams and tales by firelight, long gone. And snowflakes begin to swirl around the coach windows, and your memories swirl with them as wolves howl in the distance. And you're safe. And as you sleep now, really sleep now, you begin another dream yet again. And what a strange dream it is, because you dream that you are driving a purple coach against a snowy sky, and there's a circle of blue fire on the ground that you pass in the night, in the dark. And you're delivering a passenger of great importance, a passenger with a book and a letter of invitation to a transformational experience, a passenger who must be protected and delivered at all costs. And the dream continues because it always was a dream, but never just a dream. And you pass a clock tower, and it's midnight, and there's an empty fountain, and a lightning-blasted church, and a bonfire pit, long cold, where they danced and shouted, "We are not witches," in that dark age. And still sleeping, you drive the coach through swirling snowflakes, and your passenger sleeps peacefully, and yet your horse is slow. And the snow stops, and the wind blows the clouds open, revealing a winter moon and a castle with a tower on an island, on a lake of ice and craggy mountains on all sides. And you rein in the horses and stop. And at the shore of the lake, and you continue your empowering dream and step down from the top of the coach. And the air is fresh, and the sky is still dark. And as you look at your watch, it's midnight, and the watch has stopped, and that it's always been stopped. And you walk to the back of the coach, to the luggage hatch, but it's open, and the passenger's baggage is gone, lost forever on the mountain pass. Impossible to find now. And you open the door of the coach, and the traveler is gone, and the compartment is filled with the overwhelming scent of dried roses and cedar and lavender. And there's a book laying on the seat, The 12 Hours of the Night. And you take the book, and the dream continues, because it always was a dream, but never just a dream. And as you walk to the shore of the frozen lake, and you see the moonlight shining on the surface of the ice, and you feel strong and ready, really ready, and you turn back, and of course the coach is gone. And you weigh your choices. You cannot take the road without the coach. You would never be safe. And you must go on and accomplish your midnight task, and you will make it back eventually. And there's a path to your right that's slippery and cold and leads into the pine trees, and then seems to arc around the frozen lake, and it might head back to the castle. But in front is the short way straight to the island from which the castle rises. But how to get in? And the dream continues, because it always was a dream. And the moon isn't moving, and it's still midnight again. and the lake is frozen and slippery, and you choose your path and slip and slide, now getting colder, and it takes time, and time means forgetting all that is unimportant, and remembering so long ago, and your fingers are getting cold, and you go on, 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 and it's further, much further than you thought, much further and colder, although you're dressed for the cold, so onward you walk, trudging over the ice, and suddenly there's a door where it shouldn't be, a cellar door leading downward underneath the ice, and you open it, and down you travel, down for what seems like miles, passing torches set into the walls where water drips from the ceiling and the images swirl, pale children wearing iron masks, distant bonfires on dark hills, crows and jackdaws against a scorched landscape, a maiden's tears stored in a bottle of blue glass, ancient swords, their blades eaten by rust, bundles of healing herbs steeped in well water, an old woman teaching a blind girl to braid her own hair. You walk on, and the images fade, and you have passed the second test. So you press on, and yet still you sleepwalk, the echo of footsteps behind you, through the tunnel, which begins to rise uphill. The torch is spluttering now, burning out, and it's still midnight again, and you must hurry. And now the torches gutter and fade, and pale blue glowing lights shine from above. And now there are steps, rising steeply, so you climb and hurry, all fear gone, and then stop at a door, and the dream continues, because it always was a dream. And the therapeutic lights are bathing you now, with a feeling of healing that permeates and strengthens you. And you do feel strong and fortified, and you know you will forget it all again, just like you always have. But strangely, it doesn't matter, because you're asleep, and rising within you is a deep sense of excitement and exhilaration, knowing you passed all three tests, and now your access is guaranteed. And this time, you have experience from all your waking and sleeping dreams, and all you have learned, really learned, and there in front of you is a black door. And you remember, it is the door, and it's all in here, all you need. And you open the door, and you pass through. And as the door closes behind you, you see that the back of the door is white. And the dream continues, and it's always been a dream. And you're in an enormous circular hallway with an immense tower that rises high to a vaulted ceiling. Such workmanship, and far out of reach is a room in the dome of the roof. And the circular hall has seven colored doors, and the white door that leads back to the tunnel, the door that's black on the outside. And over all the walls, between the colored doors, are dozens of exquisite paintings. A green lizard hiding among colored flowers. A secret city on the dark side of the moon. Golden hair cascading from a tower window. A sleeping giant on the shore of Lake Superior. A child riding a zebra through a tropical forest. A wedding ring clenched in the fist of a stone statue. A minstrel under a street lamp counting his few pennies. A rope ladder in a canyon that disappears high into the clouds. A woman's hand holding a sword rising from the surface of a lake. An old seeing-eye dog waiting outside a diner at night. A purple coach with black horses and a driver whose face is a mirror, and you choose a colored door, and when you touch the handle, you fall asleep, and you start to dream that you dream, that you hear distant music. And as you float, you are truly aware, and you know that the painted images are helping you, helping your intention install now. And so much flashes past you, but you're in another room now, one you didn't choose and perhaps didn't enter. But you are there now, chosen by them. And there are more swirling images as your quest and your transformation continues to resolution. And the paintings are in your mind now, all of them, and you pass effortlessly from room to room because the quest is over and the rewards are real and ready, and you are really ready to receive. And you rapidly pass through rooms small and large, and there's a library where a wise old librarian gives you a priceless scroll written by you. And you pass through a laboratory where a brilliant doctor gives you a strengthening medicine to drink, a panacea that can cure anything. And you enter an armory where a warrior provides the weaponry, and you'll be ready whenever the banging starts. And onward to a vast art gallery where the curator gives you a deep understanding of art and culture and beauty and meaning. And you continue to dream, because it's all a dream, but not just a dream. And as you sleepwalk through the rooms, you walk on, forming a transformational trance, and hours pass in minutes, and everywhere there's a feeling of joy and exhilaration and invincibility, and you breathe in your power now, and you realize you're in the round hallway again, rising upward, lifting effortlessly to the ceiling, or you float through an opening into a new life, because the tests are passed. And you enter a council chamber, and on a strange metal chair is a man, the wisest person you've ever met. And there are dozens and dozens of smiling, seated people, and they admire you and have your highest good as their intention for you. And there's a sense of celebration as the wizard declares,
"These are days of victory."
And you remember the wizard, and you've met before at other times in other dreams, and you smile at each other, but you're different now, more complete, more integrated, more prepared, more wise, more healthy, more loving, more joyful, more powerful, more capable, more glanative, more positive, more grateful, more self-reliant, more helpful, more honest, more calm, more cultured, more hypnotic. And you have all you need, and you're standing taller. In this dream, all stops as the wizard steps carefully down from his chair with wheels and gently bows.
"I believe you have brought me a book."
He extends his hand to you, and you reach into your pocket. And as you hand him the book, a bell chimes somewhere. The wizard's eyes twinkle as he says,
"Here is your change."
And he's holding 3 gold coins, which he hands to you. You accept the change, and you feel amazing. The people all stand to applaud, first softly, and then loudly and exuberantly. And the wizard is clapping too, smiling and laughing. And it's time to go home, taking everything you have learned and earned and all you have begun to become back to the waking world. The wizard has a twinkle in his eye, and he says,
"Time for you to go home, because there's no place like home. We will meet again, my dear friend. So go all the way back on the count of 5. 1, 2... 3, 4, 5, wide awake now.